besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag, because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juice Lox.
And I'm Mwah, Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens, and we have another very fun little interview today. But before we get into that, how are you, Cynthia?
Oh my God, I'm so good. I recently discovered that a Wi-Fi extender does not always strengthen your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we had that moment. Yeah.
Juice privately judges me when my tech setup isn't to like code, because she's such like a Twitch streamer. She's got her like aesthetic and functionality all going on at the same time. And she looks at me recording our podcast from my MacBook and a borrowed Yeti mic. And she's always like, get your shit together, Sin.
It's still a borrowed Yeti mic. We are over a year into this and you haven't just bought your own.
I know. I there's a little part of me that just keeps meaning to get a nicer mic. But you know, you learn things, you grow, you know, you recycled the packaging from the Best Buy purchase, so you can't return it. These are just things in life that you accept and you move on. Mm-hmm. So overall, I'm great. I have my health and I think I have my Wi-Fi strength today. God willing.
You sound and look a lot better than last night.
Thank you.
But can I show you something?
Show me something.
Okay. I deliberately
Was it the frozen screen from last night?
No, I already showed you that. But I just want to show you what I got in the mail right before we started to record, just to make you a little jealous. This is a Barbie NYX Cosmetics tote bag, and I am just so obsessed with it. Like, how fun. And
I just wanted
to show you that.
That is gorgeous.
Okay. Shine!
Shine. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Okay, I think I might be getting it.
I hope you do.
I just wanted to get it.
I wanted you to see it before so you could feel like, oh my God, I hope I get it. Because you will. Because you are the Barbie doll of Canada.
Well, certain parcels come here later. And I always feel like late to the party because everyone goes on social media and it's like, oh my God, I just got this thing. And then I'm like the 10th girl to be like, thank you so much, NYX. And like, no one cares.
Do you know what my thing is I always know I didn't receive something. I didn't get PR or press is when the Vancouver girls get it.
Because
you guys get things so late that I'm like, oh, I didn't get that one. Fuck.
I made it all the way across the country and it didn't get to me.
They didn't send me one. Fuck.
Fuck. See, you're right, because we're a couple days behind.
Yeah, but I'm really excited for when you get it. And then we can both be walking around with our little Barbie toe pegs in Vancouver for Pride next week.
We'll take them to the airport. We'll use them as our like regular purse. Fuck the Prada. I'm using my NYX X Barbie
Yes. tote. I'm going to use it to put a wig in. You know, it looks like a good wig bag.
Oh, girl. Speaking of wigs, a lot of my human hairs have come in.
Oh, yes. You were showing me last night.
Once they get a cut in color, I'm like going to be unstoppable. There's one that's so similar to my hair, blonde. Vincent actually was, my partner was like, can you take it off for 1 second? Because it looks the exact same as your hair. Like, why are you putting this tiny wig on? He's like, okay, I guess your hair is a little darker right now. Because he was like, I need to see. Otherwise, this is the most ridiculous wig in the world. I'm very excited.
I love it. No, I'm very excited for you. I'm really excited to see how you style them. Because the one was kind of giving... I would love to speak to the manager. So I just really want to see how.
See, this is the thing. Vincent was saying this too. They so quickly go into Karen territory that like either I full send lean into it, John and Kate plus eight, or I like give them blowout like highlights. I'm picturing Linda Evangelista. If I land at John and Kate plus eight, SQ Cuties, you know, just still love me.
I'm hoping you end up in like a Linda Evangelista kind of Victoria Beckham space. That's where I'm hoping you land.
Maybe Linda present day for the Apple doc.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you seen trailers for that?
No, I haven't.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I
Linda Evangelista, Naomi, Christy Turlington, they're doing an Apple Plus TV doc series.
Oh, for supermodels.
Supermodels.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like for Apple. And I was like, I don't know. I also don't have Apple TV. Jackson's supposed to give me his password because I gave him my Crave password and he hasn't given to me. How rude.
That's not how tradesies work, Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson.
Did he shave his beard?
No, he's trimmed it. It's more handsome now.
because he said he was going to do something with it. Like, he had an Instagram vote, and I literally was like, shave the beard. Let me see the Prince jawline.
I like when it's like, he does have very full lips, so he does look very handsome with a full shaved face, but I like a little stubble.
What's that like? I have little tiny, thin little lips.
I know, I have little white people lips. He actually has like a very full upper lip. It makes me jealous.
We love Jackson.
Ugh, so handsome.
Even though he would cheat on me with him in another podcast.
I know, but
the point.
That's beside the point. But let's get to what we are doing today. This week, we have the incredibly talented Beverly Kills coming on our podcast from Down Under. We don't one silly Australian accent this whole time because
I'm
we are
so proud of us. I was so proud of us.
I thought we were going to. Yeah, we didn't go it. We didn't, nor, but there would be times where she would say something and I would slowly and softly mouth it to myself.
Yes, absolutely. The accent is beautiful and rich. She is a delight. She's just really smart and funny. And I, not that I'm ever surprised, because I feel like to be such an established drag queen, you have to know what your brand is, who you are, what you're giving to this world. And Beverly was no exception. She was phenomenal as a guest.
She's phenomenal and super funny. And I hope you guys really enjoy this interview. And we will see you right after.
On the flip side.
Bye. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Sometimes we're faced with crossroads in life and we don't know which path to take. Maybe you're thinking about a career change or feeling like your relationship needs some TLC. You know, summer can be a really busy, fun social time, but it can lead to burnout. So whatever it is, therapy can help you map out your future and trust yourself to find the way forward. Juice, I know you're a huge fan of therapy.
I think everybody needs therapy.
It's totally.
Right? I started taking my mental health really seriously after seeing how I had a massive panic attack on season 1, episode 1 of Canada's Drag Race. And I was able to learn things like de-escalation and learn that I had PTSD and how to handle those things. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without therapy. So it's a great thing to do. And I think everybody should maybe try it.
Absolutely. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge if you're not vibing with your therapist. It's super easy.
Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/SQQ today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/SQQ.
We are so excited to have a queen from across the world. I want to say this is our first drag queen from Down Under. I am so excited to introduce Beverly Kills to semi-qualified queens. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
International. Yes.
Thank you
for having me. Oh my goodness. Oh my God, I feel like we're all fully qualified today. This is so exciting. We've got.
Oh, I mean, until me and Cynthia start not Googling and spreading misinformation, but overall,
it's just the beginning. The night is young, Beverly. Yeah. I can really become semi-qualified quite quickly.
Yeah, we got a lot of things wrong, but we tried. And you know what we do try to stay qualified for is always making sure we research our guests. So don't you worry. We made sure that we didn't just like throw you on blind. So
okay,
we've
good.
Got good questions for you. Don't worry.
I don't know how you've researched me. I found out the other day that most girls from my season have a Wikipedia page, except for me. But I don't know.
You do. Yeah, you do. You were part of my research. I looked it up.
Wikipedia
Kills. Oh wait, it may be.
Is it like
Race? It's RuPaul's Drag Race one. Wiki.
It's Drag Race.
I'm sorry.
That doesn't fucking.
I'm sorry.
Count.
I lied.
I was
I'm sorry.
So,
I lied.
Well, I got. Maybe I felt really left out and I was like, I'm going to make my own Wikipedia page. And I started editing it for five minutes. And I was like, I feel like to earn a Wikipedia page, you can't make it yourself.
No. But if you're going to have a bunch of fans listening today. So if there's any fans out there, please make her a Wikipedia page. Just make one up.
Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Pedia are listening. Please help.
And also put a photo up. Mine doesn't have a photo up on it and it makes me feel like shit and my whole cast does. So put a photo up for Beverly too, because it's shitty when you don't have a picture up. We're so pretty.
Yeah. You deserve photos. But I also really slow claps for you just reflecting and being like, no, someone has to make this Wikipedia. It can't be me.
Yeah, well, there's currently somewhere, I don't know if it's online or not, there might be like a really shittily edited Wikipedia page of me, just with like two sentences. I copied and pasted Molly Poppins and then just redid all of the things. So there's a Wikipedia page somewhere saying that I'm half Beverly, half Molly, because I didn't know how to make it myself, so I just copied hers.
I love that. I hope it's saved. So just to kind of dive in, today, on the day that we're actually recording, this is the season 3 premiere. So season 2 is over. We're on to season 3.
Yeah.
Do you feel like a new Supreme is taking over? Do you feel like your powers are being sucked out of you? How do you feel that a new season is starting?
I don't know. I think, like, I reckon if you asked me, like, 6 months ago, how do you feel about a new batch of girls, you know, taking the spotlight, I'd be like, oh, no, like, you know, my time in the sun's done. But that's fine. Like, you know, I'll be right. I don't know. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh, shit, like, today's the day. But there's no, we don't have, like, a live premiere, so it doesn't feel real.
Oh, so it just kind of like happens?
Yeah, like I have a gig tonight and I'm just going to watch it while I get ready, I guess, which is not what I was expecting because, you know, we all fly to Sydney and we like book out the State Theatre or the Opera House and it's this big spectacle. But this year they went, fuck down under. We're just going to
They didn't do anything?
There's no premiere.
In Canada, we just put together our own premiere.
Yeah, well, the girls are doing, like, their viewing parties. Like, there's a viewing party kind of all around the place. I might do one or two in Melbourne when I go down there, so that'd be fun.
Oh, that's
But I don't know. I definitely think, like, Drag Race Down Under, the viewership is really, and not to speak ill of the Drag Race gods, sorry, RuPaul, if you're listening. He's not. But, like...
she's not. The
viewership's, like, really dwindled in Australia, but I think internationally it's actually widened. So I feel like, because like when I went to Los Angeles, I was like, oh, like no one's really going to care about us. And then I got there and I was like, oh, everyone here has seen the season. This is great. It was so unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay. Everyone loves you. That's interesting that you get that impact in your own country, though. So there's times where you're just like, I don't know, that it feels surreal, right? It's like, it's in a far, far away land. Someone loves you.
Well, that's so right. Well, like, drag here is so accessible. Like, you can meet, you can meet Spanky Jackson. You don't need to buy a meet and greet ticket to Spanky Jackson because you'll see her at the bar after the show just taking pictures and socializing with everyone. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't... That kind of wall doesn't exist here. I think that's why, like, people aren't, like, super interested in watching Drag Race Down Under in Australia. And it's because, like, it's like, well, I can go see the girls at the bar for completely free. I can go see the winner of Drag Race for completely free.
Oh, that's so funny.
Interesting. But I want to dive into you. This is our hour to get obsessed. Not an hour, for however long we want to be. This is our moment to interview you, Beverly.
You can dive as deep as you want into
I want to dive in. Okay. So, question for you. I read somewhere or saw in one of your interviews. Did you go on the show when you were 21?
Yeah, I got cast when I was...
Little baby.
Yeah, I got cast when I was 20. So I got like a little short list. Email when I was 20, and then when I filmed it, I was 21. Yeah.
How long have you been doing drag? Sorry to cut you off, Juice, but how long have you been doing drag before?
Girl, like fucking 2 years. So I remember when Aubrey came in, because Aubrey had only been doing drag for like 18 months. And I was like, as soon as she walked in, I knew that they were going to want to have like because she was a COVID like drag queen. Like she kind of started during lockdown.
COVID baby.
I only started 6 months before COVID. So when I walked in and I was like, I'm going to be like the young queen of the season. And then when Aubrey walked in, I was like, oh, fucking got me.
There's always someone younger. There's always someone.
Somebody younger and prettier. Oh,
clipping at your heels.
You fucking bitch. And she had done drag for less time than me, but was more polished. So she got the like, she's like a young drag prodigy. Whereas I kind of got like she's still got a little bit to learn, you know, this drag queen. It's like, fuck you.
You fucking cunt. I love that. Yeah. Can I actually tell you an Aubrey story just really quick? Do you remember at the pink carpet when we were doing like the ribbon cutting, everyone was just grouped together? I was standing there and Aubrey came and stood next to me and we were just chit-chatting and I felt so bad because I didn't recognize her And like, I had watched like the show and I knew who Aubrey was, but I didn't recognize her. And she was talking to me and we were talking for so long. And then it was to the point where like, I was going to people for the rest of the day and I was like, who is that really beautiful one in the nude? And it has this like the brown finger wave. And it wasn't until that night, someone's like, that's Aubrey Have, you fucking cunt. And I was like,
you bitch.
Oh.
Did you not clock like the Australian accent or anything? And you didn't?
I did. And that's why I was sitting there like, I should know who this person is because they have such a thick Australian accent. Yeah. So I was just sitting there. And then when they said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I felt so bad. She looked great, though.
I couldn't get over your description being, she was in like gold and her hair was like wavy. I was like,
just every drag queen there.
That is the most vague description of a drag queen. We're never going to track this beautiful queen down.
I found out she's wearing one wig and 10 nails and she's blonde.
Yeah, I don't know. And I who is she? Anyways, but yeah, I love that. So moving on, when it comes to you, you've got this like wild set of skills. You've got like circus acts and you're eating fire and you've got a bull whip. How did you really get into all this? It is a bull rip, right? I'm not talking out of my ass.
It's a bull whip. Nice job. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Period.
Good job.
We got it right.
Yeah. Well, I like started, when I started drag, I was like, really, I thought I was like the antithesis to all drag queens. Like, I think most drag queens, when they start, they're like, that's it. Like, I'm changing the face of drag. I'm like no one's seen anything like this before. And I had that like big time. And so because of that, I got put on all these like alternate like drag shows and like lineups. And then the burlesque community in Brisbane is massive. And so they kind of like took me under their wing. So I ended up like emceeing a lot of their events or doing like, I was always like the token drag queen at the burlesque show. I don't know if you guys have that as well.
Cool.
Yeah. And then eventually all of the, I met the burlesque crew and then I met like the sideshow burlesque people. And then eventually they were like, no drag queens are like cracking whips or eating fire. Like, let's teach you. And I was like, great. So like, I have like all of these, like, I don't have a drag mom, but I have like 20 different like mentors, and most of them are like burlesque artists before they're drag queens. It's pretty cool.
That's beautiful. Do you so I saw pasties in some photo. You do burlesque too then?
Yeah, sometimes. I try not to do it too much, like, because I think it's there is something to be said about like I'm a cis man like out of drag, and that, like, I think sometimes doing burlesque can come across as a little bit maybe burlesque is meant to be a liberation of women. And so it, sometimes people can feel like it's not appropriate. And I completely agree. But I'll do it. Sometimes I'll do it when it's appropriate. I have been told a couple times that like mixing drag and burlesque can be like a bit dangerous because it's not what burlesque exactly stands for, which is like, I kind of agree. I don't know. But I'm like, I just enjoy getting naked for money. Yeah. So I was like,
Yeah, I do burlesque all the time and I love getting naked for money.
Yeah.
It makes me feel hot.
I was going to say, Juice, you do it all the time.
Yeah. For free.
For free. Taking my tits out and my ass out for free. Anyway,
she's doing it right now with that tank top.
Boobies. But yeah, I learned it because I liked it, and I wasn't polished enough when I started to get like put on like the drag lineup. So the burlesque community kind of was like, come with us, child. And I was like, okay, sure. That's
learned it pretty quick. You've been doing drag for now what, 2-3 years is what we're kind of
next year will be 5.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, you seem pretty polished with an act like that for it to be that short, you know?
Drag Race Down Under, as of like kind of at the moment, Drag Race Down Under was like the midpoint of my like drag
career. Oh, okay.
It's all happened very quickly, to be honest. I was meant to be a journalist, and I kind of was like, oh, fuck that. I'm going to be a fucking cross-dresser.
No, I love it. You're just like, I'm doing this instead. Yeah. Can you describe to me your one woman show and how that came about? And is it scary just to be yourself on stage, Beverly?
Oh my God, yes I can. I have a poster of it somewhere here. No, I don't know where it is. It's called Heaven and Hell. And it is my one woman show that I wrote, and it is comedy, cabaret, burlesque. I do burlesque in it, fuck it. I'll get naked. But it's fuck you. It's called Heaven and Hell. It is kind of about growing up in like a Christian household and like going to a Catholic school and then figuring out that like drag is what liberates me. But at the same time, every drag queen that has like a religious upbringing has this kind of like guilt in the back of their head. Mm. So it's sort of just telling that story through like just with lots of jokes and lots of fun camp drag shows. Because like, I don't know, I think there's this, anytime there's discourse about like drag and religion, it's very serious and it's very kind of, it's a bit of a downer, but the show is just so fun and so stupid that, because much like most drag queens, I use humor to cope. So I just sort of was like, what do I need to write a show about? Because the option sort of slid across my desk. And I was like, all right, if I'm going to write a fringe show, what am I going to write it about? And I was like, I have to make it a fun, religious, satanic drag show. And that's exactly what I did. Woo!
I'm obsessed. So when you say write, is it like a series of monologues with like performance in between, or?
Yeah. So I set it into three acts. So that's spoiling too much if you want to come watch it, everybody.
Don't spoil, no spoilers, but.
I start off as an angel who's mysteriously died. And I start off as an angel and I meet God, and God is played by the role of Minnie Cooper. So Minnie Cooper appears as like an apparition in my brain, and she's like, Beverly, like to stay in heaven, you must convince me that you've lived a life free of sin. And I was like, oh, I'm a crossdresser, where do I go? And then it's just like 60 minutes of just me trying to figure out if I can get into heaven or not. But I won't spoil it. But yeah, yes, that's the show. So it's like, oh, I love that comedy. Yeah, it's fun.
Are you going to ever do, like, can you get, like, a couple cameras to capture it and, like, edit a digital, like, video version of it?
I've been thinking of getting it filmed when I do it in Sydney, and then maybe I'll do, like, a pay-per-view kind of, like...
I love that. You
know, I'll put it on my OnlyFans. If I get that naked enough, I'll put it on my OnlyFans, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. How far the burlesque goes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The looming OnlyFans that hangs over each Drag Race queen. We're like, am I going to start
it? I'm getting closer every single day. I'm starting with the thotty athletic shots.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now.
Does Geometric have an OnlyFans? She's putting her pink hole all over Twitter. Does she? I don't know.
She doesn't at the moment. She does. Well, actually, no. She did do one during the show because there was a bit with her Rusical character, but there was no full frontal in it. Wow. It was like a drag kind of moment, but she hasn't touched that since. I'll let her know.
Is she going whole on Twitter? Why haven't I seen this?
No, it wasn't her whole. It's just,
no, it's not like, whole.
It's like a pink panty, and she's just like, yes, carrying on.
She loves the pink.
I've seen that.
Speedo.
Yes,
the pink speedo.
Yeah, she loves the pink speedo. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
are you
speedo.
A fan, Beverly? Are we loving? Are we hating?
I don't follow. She just comes up on my Twitter because someone else likes it, and I have to click not interested every single time. Every time.
Oh, no. No, no, no. I love it. Oh, my God. Oh, I had a question that fell out of my head.
Uh-oh.
I know. Silly me.
Don't you hate when that happens?
I know. We were talking about... Oh, that wasn't a question. It was a statement. Your one-woman show. Do you do it right now in Australia, but do you have plans to tour it anywhere else? Like, do you want to go to Europe? Do you want to come to Canada? Do you maybe want to tour it in the States? It sounds really cool.
Why not? Like, I would love to just, like, that's the dream, right? Like, every drag queen wants to just tour, like, anywhere they can.
Yes.
But with what I've learned about, like, having, like, a fringe show is, like, you have to kind of establish it first. And then once it, like, kind of exists in the realm of your own country, then you can start expanding. So I was like, I'm going to do the Australian fringe circuit for a year. And then, you know, maybe come to a city near you. I was like, if I do DragCon UK, I could do it in London. Why not?
Totally.
Done. Easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you going to DragCon UK? Will I see you there?
I haven't decided yet. It's a lot more expensive.
Tentative.
Babe, yeah. You're telling me. It's Do you a realize? I don't think people realize how much it costs for Australians to get to Los Angeles.
I didn't want to think about it. You guys had to pay out a pretty penny. And like everything you had to ship over and everything. I felt kind of bad. Because I remember you and I met for the first time. We were all in line going to pay for stuff, and you guys I knew were just all online getting ready to pay, and I was just sitting, and you guys were telling me about some costs, and I was like, I'm paying $100 right now.
like around, like, I think total, I reckon I spent flights, accom, travel, I reckon I spent like 4,000 Australian dollars just to like do it. And I did not sell $4,000 worth of merch. None of us did. So, like, I did it because we wanted to do it. DragCon was so worth it. But, yeah I just, I wish people understood, like, we are far a fuck. We are so far away from everyone else. It is crazy.
Well, the UK's a little bit closer to you.
It's objectively further.
Oh, is it? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, babe, it's worse.
I was like, I don't know.
Like, it's like, am I going to go from like $4,000 to like $6,000, babe? Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to be optimistic. I'm sorry.
that just means, listeners, that if you ever see an Australia queen come all that way, you better give them your money.
Yeah, absolutely. We had
buy their merch. Give them
nine out of the 10 of season 2 all come to DragCon LA, and I was like, that's incredible. Really, really special. Because really, what we really wanted Faux Fur, because she was in Europe. She was already away.
Oh, so glam.
Yeah, but we were like, we really wanted to do the reunion, and we didn't like get a reunion on our season, so we were like, we've got to do it. Yeah,
totally.
And the Drag Actually, Race Down Under season 2 reunion is very spicy. So whenever that comes out, that'll be.
It hasn't come out yet?
No, they take a long time.
Like the Bring Back My Girls thing.
Oh, it's Madison? The Bring Back My Girls. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Choose.
See, Beverly.
She's semi-qualified. She said reunion. So I thought it was going to be like a full-blown, like, I don't know. Like, we had our reunion was like a. Was we've had two reunions. So we had one by Crave, the network that we're on, and then we had the Bring Back My Girls. Both of them were absolutely stupid and shouldn't have been done, but I'm happy that yours is spicy.
Well, we were like, I think it was like our last chance at like having a bit of TV time. And my goal going into the reunion, I was like, I just want to crack some jokes, have some fun, and I want to squash any like people. I think people had this idea that I still had issues with girls that I filmed with, and that wasn't true at all. So I was like, I just want to like squash any rumors and just like have a good time. That was not everyone else's intention though, so they got to. I won't spoil it. I feel like I'm telling tales out of school, but they'll find out.
Well, there was people who were there, so it's not like they signed NDAs.
Yeah, well, to be fair, there is a video of a queen, and that video is on the internet to be readily watched. So if you want to do your research, listeners of semi-qualified queens, please do so.
Well, someone should.
Somebody should. I remember at DragCon, you had sort of made a joke about you sort of being a villain. Are you a demon twink? Is that what you are?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm queen of the twinks. And it's worse. It's worse because we're down under. I think like I thought going into the season, I was like, I don't know. I never identified as villain. And then I rewatched it back and I went, oh no, I am a villain. Oh no. But I was like, oh fuck, what have I done? But villains are only fun to watch if they embrace it. Because there's nothing more that I hate when someone is a bitch on TV and they go on Twitter and they're like, I just want to send peace and love and this is we're a community. And I was like, just be a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, I like
and
that.
And I find that the villains and the bitchy girls on the season are actually the nicest in person and the most professional to work with.
Because it's the most real found. And upfront.
I agree.
You say?
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah. I've never taken bullshit, and that has been very good for me to not take bullshit.
I love that.
Okay, speaking of Australia, I know like everyone must ask you this, but can you describe Australian drag? I hear it's very high production and glam.
You're a liar. Drag Race Down Under is, we take pride in being trash. Like it is very important for us to be trash. It is very important for us to be. Have you guys ever heard the word bogan? Do you know what that means?
I've heard it, but I don't know what it means.
A bogan is like a redneck, but just in Australia, basically.
Okay.
So, okay, bogan, cool. Like someone who is a bogan.
Are you a bogan?
I have like Bergen heritage. Like, I
leveled up.
Yeah.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
I know, yeah. Well, like, a Bergen might hang out at like the train station all day, but they never catch the train. That's just where they hang out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I get you.
Yeah. So I feel like I could have been a Bogan if I made the wrong choices. But there are plenty of drag queen Bogans. I won't name names. I won't name names, but they
name names. Say their names. No,
I'm nice community and spirit and love. I'm a nice girl now, I swear. Oh,
I love that. I remember I had some Australian friends. They were Tootsie Toots and Carrie Glamshaw. They did drag in Toronto, and they used to tell me about Fluffy.
Oh my god, yeah, that's the club I had like a residency at for like 3 years. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh my god. Okay. So but that's where I heard that drag was very like high production and glam. Are you telling me that it's actually trash?
Well, Fluffy's nice. No, Fluffy's great. You just have to go to the right. We have such a like a wide. I definitely feel like I saw only, you know, I was only in LA for a week, and I was only in Toronto for like 2 nights, and that's the only time I've seen drag. Oh, I went to Bali. I saw drag in Bali, but like aside from that, I haven't really seen the scope of what drag is like in like other countries. But I really feel like the drag in Australia is so, the scope is so wide. Like we have so many types of styles of drag that is like not just like celebrated, but kind of like we kind of have this like historic appreciation for drag. There's a pub. There's a pub in
with a bogey flair.
With a bogey flair. Yeah. There, we have a pub in Brisbane called Sporties, and they've been operating for like 70 years. And it's the type of like drag pub that has, we have like the Hall of Fame. So it's like anyone that has basically done like, I think it might be 20 or 30 years as a performer at the pub, gets like their picture put up, and there's like murals of all the drag queens, and like not all the drag queens are with us anymore, but we still have this like historic kind of like appreciation for the girls. Sporties and Sporties is proud, like high production, and then at the same time like proud trash.
I love that. That's absolutely incredible. That sounds so fun. I want to go to Australia. That sounds so cool.
Me too. I want to go to Australia so badly.
I really want us to have like a drag con, because I think it would encourage like a lot more international visitors. We have drag expo, which is just as fun. But I feel like having like the RuPaul tick of approval would really bring like so many people here.
Imagine. Yeah. So I remember you had mentioned to me that your partner is from Windsor.
Yes. Oh my god.
So I want to know, like, are you and I cousins now? Like, are him and I related? Like, what is happening? How did you guys meet? Probably. Where is he?
So he was like born and raised in Windsor, Ontario, which is like 4 hours south of Toronto. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's where me and Boa are from. I'm from a suburb about 30 minutes out, and Boa's right from the city of Windsor.
Work. Yeah. So
yeah,
I met my partner, Greg, on, I call it Yellow Facebook, which is Grindr. So we met on Yellow Facebook. And then we just kind of met, and then we really got along, and we just ended up dating. And then eventually he was like, hey, like I'm going to my brother's wedding. Do you want to come with me to Canada? And I was like, sure, let's go. So it was like my first time going overseas like since COVID. And then, oh no, that's a lie, because I went to Drag Race after Drag Race. But then I went to
trauma blocked that.
Yeah, I kind of that, like, yeah. I didn't want to remember it. It's so scary. But we landed in Toronto, and then we drove to Windsor, but we spent 2 nights in Toronto, and we went to Woody's or Sailor.
Woody's.
Yeah, we went to Woody's, and I saw Jada Shader Hudson.
Yeah, you did.
Fabulous.
Both of us had been on Drag Race at the time, but neither one of us had been announced.
Did you talk to each other? Did you acknowledge it?
I tried to, but I was very drunk. So I, from what I remember, Jada, by the way, killed it. Like, she was so good.
Yeah. Jada turns the party.
As she kind of came off stage, I kind of like tried to stumble over, and I was like, Jada, Jada. She goes, oh, hi, baby. And like runs away, because all she sees is this drunk white twink going, Jada, oh my God. But I wanted to be, I literally wanted to be like, we've both done Drag Race, but we can't talk about it. But I didn't get to do that.
That would have been, Jada wouldn't have not known. She would have been like,
She would have been like, this fucking twink has like dropped a cap and is like spinning out at the club.
I'm obsessed with that. I also love Woody's. Woody's is my old stomping grounds. That's where I used it to perform all the time. I love it there.
It was so fun. They did, I think we might have gone on maybe a Sunday night. They did what they call Marathon Drag.
The Smoking Hot Diva Show. Yes.
It was called Marathon Drag, I think. Was that Sunday, maybe?
So just to give you an idea of drag in Toronto, every show is marathon drag. So what we do is there's drag on from about 6 p.m. till about 2 a.m.
They just
constant. We don't stop. We're almost like background noise. And it's just
kind of wild.
Yeah. At Woody's, they do one. They do everybody does a set of one, then everybody does a set of two, and then everybody does a set of one. Beverly, if you went to Cruise and Tangos, it would have been everyone does a set of four. And there's three girls on cast from 6 p.m. till 2 a.m.
And it gets to a point where you start to feel bad. Talk about a one-woman show. Like, it's literally the girl out there just being like, hey, for like back to back to back. It's wild.
I have never been so fit in my life than performing in Toronto.
I bet.
I feel so lazy because in Brisbane, we do one show every 90 minutes, bitch. And we do three. We do three spots and then that's it. Are you kidding? That's crazy. Yeah. I thought the marathon, because I asked one of the bartenders, I was like, oh, because I got there and I was like, oh, it's mid-show, like perfect timing. And then I got the drink and I started watching. And then I was like, oh, woo. And I was like, oh, there's so many girls on. And then I think it started with, Ivory Towers? I think I saw Ivory Towers.
Yeah, Ivory Towers. Very
She was fantastic. She had this fantastic Gaga like mix. And then she was the first person I saw. And then when she came on stage again, I was like,
I've seen her.
and then she left. And then Baby Bell, I think her name is.
Yeah.
Isn't she Baby Bell? Yep. She then came on again.
Yeah, I do. No, it's fine. We just don't get along very well. That's fine.
She did a great show. Anyway, She came on again for the second time. And then I was like, I was like, oh, the drinks must be really strong here. I'm like, I feel like I've seen these girls. And then Greg leans over and he's like, yeah, they just do it all night. I thought I was like settling in for a show. And then I ended up standing there.
You're settling in for the evening.
45 minutes of drag. And I left and I was exhausted. And I was like, how do these poor drag queens feel?
We are. Yeah. Dripping. You hats have to almost to wear one wig, and it's just craziness. But
hats off. It was very impressive. I was actually quite. I was like kind of like shocked at how much drag there was. It was just it didn't end. Whereas we do one number and we'll like start complaining. So I salute the troops.
I know. I find it intimidating. Like, there's times where I'm like, there's certain venues that I still haven't performed at in Toronto because I'm like, am I just going to have to dance for like an hour and a half?
I know.
You know so what? You're past that. You don't need to.
But is it only a Toronto?
I
want to
do it as a rite of passage.
It's kind of more of an Ontario thing. It's sort of spread like a cancer. And
spread like COVID.
Yeah, just kind of spread, and all of these other places were like, oh my god, we could just have you be on all night long and only pay you $100. Like, yeah.
No! Let's do that. Whoa.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but you make I would leave Cruise and Tango sometimes with like $1,000 in tips because you're never not on stage, right? And you only, in Canada, you get tipped in 5s, 10s, and 20s, right? So the money's a lot better. Oh my god.
Hold on.
Do you not know that? There's no tipping. We don't have tipping culture here. We just pay people a normal wage, like a normal fucking
country.
Okay,
yeah, that's... Yeah. You just get paid a livable wage. That's fair. Yeah.
So we just get paid a flat rate for the night. It might be between... If you're like a young queen, you might get 150, but like an established queen will get anywhere between like 250 to 400 for the evening.
Wow. That's pretty. That's good. I love that. Okay, so this is kind of a little bit more airy, slightly off topic. It's kind of like a nice way to sort of wrap up everything, but can you just elaborate more about greening out in Mario Land in LA?
Oh! Oh my god! Yes, I can.
Because you've tweeted about it like twice, babe? And I really want to know.
Okay, so in Australia, we don't have like legalized marijuana.
Weed?
It's not legal here. Oh. So you guys have like dispensaries. So trust and believe. When I went to Windsor, and then when I went to LA this year, I was like,
"Let's go."
I was gooning and baiting at the dispensaries. Like, I was having the time of my life. I loved it. I loved it.
Good.
So, Los Angeles, they pour the drinks quite strong. And because I'm not used to tipping culture, I would always over tip because I was scared of under tipping. So, and I didn't know what was the normal amount. So my first night, super jet lagged. They're like, if you're jet lagged coming into Los Angeles, just stay up as long as you can so you're not tired the next day. So we're like, great, it's a Monday night, let's go to Mickey's. And I tipped the bartender, I didn't know, the same amount as the drink cost. So my drinks was like $35. So I just gave him $75 or something. And he was like, great. And he really looked after me the whole night. So he got
me loved you.
Drunk. Like, it was gross. So I stumble home into the apartment with my drag sister, Ella Wara. I think you would have met Ella.
Yeah.
So I stumble in and I'm like, Ella, I need like your painkillers. I think you have call it like Advil. We call it Panadol. I'm like, Ella, I need a Panadol. Like, I've got a headache. I feel sick. And she's like, oh, they're in the bathroom. So I go into the bathroom and I find the like sheet of like tablets and I like pop three out and I just guzzle them down.
Okay.
I wake up the next morning like, I didn't take Panadol. I took three of Ella's weight loss pills, which you're not meant to mix really with alcohol.
Oh my God.
And I did it on an empty stomach while drunk. So I was like on basically speed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like I need to calm down. I'll have an edible. I don't do weed. So I mixed a hangover, speed,
Beverly.
And two edibles and started riding the rides at Universal Studios. So I was in the Harry Potter ride going, woo! The Harry Potter ride. I was so high when the Harry Potter ride broke down and the lights went out. I thought I died. Like, we were like, woo! And then it all of a sudden screeches to a halt and everything goes black. And there's a like an animatronic of the Dementor like over me, and I was like, "Oh my god, I just died." And then Ella's next to me. She's like, "Bev, are you okay?" I'm like, "Ella, I just died." And she's like, "No, you're right here with me." Long story short, the next ride we go on to, I went to the Super Mario like line, and because there's so much music and lights and colors, it was just too much, and I greened out and I threw up. In a staff room in front of about 10 Universal employees on their break, and they had to clean up my vomit on their break.
And did they know that you were Beverly Kills of Drag Race Down Under fame?
I am praying that they did not know. it was awful. I just like found a door and I couldn't even see. I was trying to find a bathroom. I just found a door and I'm like, that must be a bathroom. And I slam it open and they're like, sir, you can't be in here. And I'm like, and just like all over the floor. Damn. And Americans get a bad rap for being crazy. They were so nice about it. They were like, sir, it's okay. Do you need medical attention? And I remember is like grabbing one of them being like, I'm from Australia. We don't have weed here. I'm freaking out. these beautiful, nice workers at Universal Studios, they sat me down on their little couch and they like give me sips of water and they were like petting my head because I was so sweaty. They looked Aww. After me. So shout out to Universal Studios for looking after this poor drunk greening out twink. I felt very looked after. It's very nice.
Shout out to them. Okay, now for an absolute classic question.
I'm ready.
If you got the call for All Stars versus the World, would you go? And who would you hope to see? Who would you hope to see there?
Oh my god! I have like, I'm like pen pals with Lucy LaDuca. We've became like great mates online. I love that. It's very rare.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's so fun.
I would love to do it with someone like Lucy, and I feel like we would like align together.
Good. You would let loose together.
We would be letting loose. I would like to do it with Juicebox and Cynthia Kiss.
No pressure, no pressure, no pressure, no pressure, no pressure.
Yeah. Gosh, who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? I really would love to do, like, UK vs. the World seems fun, but I would like to do Canada vs. the World personally. And for me, I'm like, I've already done it with RuPaul. And I'm like, I just want like a completely different experience because that would be fun. Like, I don't know, just something different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Trevor, if you're listening, Beverly is very interested in coming on Canada versus the World, probably casting, maybe soon. Who knows?
Who's Trevor?
Trevor is one of the producers.
Oh, he's like the Amanda of, yeah, okay, fierce.
Yeah, hi, he's like the main producer of Canada.
Hi, Trevor. How are you? Hope you're having a great day.
Hi. Yeah, hi.
But yeah, I would love to do it because, like, there's Drag Race, and you guys know this, when you do Drag Race, like, the post Drag Race experience teaches you 5 years worth of experience in 1 year. Like, it just condenses. You do so much and you do so many different types of gigs and work that you just learn so much in such a short amount of time. So I feel like I've learned so much so quickly, and I would love to show that off. Why not? There's some people who say no, and I'm like, do it. It is so fun. Do it.
Oh, some of us have trauma and PTSD.
That is fair.
Yeah.
Well, wait, would you guys do it again?
Hard yes. And Juice maybe. Would say yes too.
Maybe.
Look at that smile. Look at that smile, Patreon supporters.
It's really expensive.
She's making it about herself. She's like, don't make me say it.
Maybe. Don't make me say it.
If we get enough Patreon subscribers, I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay, so just to kind of end things off, really fun, really sweet, and really light, we're going to do a lightning round. Are you cool with that?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm ready.
Okay, first thing that comes to your mind, all right, sweet or salty?
Salty.
Heels or flats?
Heels. Come on.
Macca's or a cheeky Nando's?
How do you know that? I'm gonna offer you a third option, which is the Dirty Bird, which is KFC.
The Dirty Bird. Oh, okay. I haven't heard that one. Okay, Dirty Bird. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Bullwhip or fire eating?
Fire.
Ooh. Twinks or bears?
Bears.
Ooh.
Nice. Drag Race or Dragula?
Drag Race, I guess. That's the one I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. I don't know. I was hoping you'd be like, I've already done Drag Race. Let's do Dragula. I don't know.
I would love to. Actually, you know what? Let's do Dragula then, because I've already done Drag Race. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think you'd be cool on Dragula.
That'd be fun. I'd love to do the Exterminations. That'd be fun.
Oh my God. So scary.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
So is there anything else that you kind of want to like promote or shout out or say before we kind of like throw you off into the ocean?
I have a new nightclub that I'm producing, and it's called Kill House, and it gets announced on the 1st of August. So probably when this podcast comes out.
Oh my God. Woo! Amazing.
So cool.
Everyone should go follow Kill House Party on Instagram. It's like a hyper pop, super gay, like, disco vibes. It'll be great. I'm so excited.
When you say nightclub, is it a party or is it a full-blown nightclub?
It's a party at a nightclub. It's a bi-monthly kind of event. And then I was like, okay, well, if I can make this big enough in Brisbane, then I can start like touring the event around just as like a fun space. Because like I love Australia's queer community, but we really struggle with having like modern spaces for like gay people. I feel like it's very like I love my little Ariana Grande Rain on Me dance floor moment, but I think people want something a bit more like dirty and fun. And I was like, I could produce that. Fuck yeah.
More like that hyper pop kind of like Rina Sawayama. How do you say your last name?
Sawayama?
Yeah, Sawayama.
Yeah, so like put some Charlie XCX on or something like that. Like I feel like I need to make a safe space for the twinks because they're so, you know, marginalized. So I was like, let's give these twinks a place to party.
They're so fragile.
Oh my God,
break them in
so
half.
Kind of you. She is the queen of the twinks. I love that.
I am
that.
The queen of the twinks. You're very welcome.
Demon queen. Demon twink queen.
Oh yeah, baby.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is Beverly Kills joining us all the way from Australia. It is 10 a.m. over there. It is absolutely crazy. Thank you so much for waking up and hanging out with us.
Thank you. I've had a great time.
Can you just quickly drop your socials for everybody?
It is at The Beverly Kills everywhere.
Oh, that's so easy.
Yes, it is.
That.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. And I can't wait until we cross paths again. I want to see you. Spitfire, and then I want to see this one woman show in video format, if not sooner.
If not live.
So cool.
I'll try and figure out a way for you to see it in person. It'll be fun. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I hope you guys feel a little bit more than semi-qualified now.
A little bit. We'll see.
Who else have you got lined up for these fabulous interview specials?
Ooh, we still have to confirm a bunch of them, but Anthony, bleep these out. So there's still surprises, but we potentially have
fun.
Those are ours lined up right now.
Fun. That's great. And for the people at home whose names they were beeped out, these are not just Drag Race girls. These are like really cool people to be interviewed.
Yeah.
So get excited.
Thank you. But thanks so much, Beverly. And we will chat with you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
And that was Beverly Kills. That was so fun. And actually, right before we get into anything, she actually just sent me the sweetest little message thanking us for the interview. So she literally wrapped the interview, said thanks, and called it a day. She is so sweet. That was so fun.
This is what I'm talking about. This is a professional. This is a pro. I've noticed there's certain queens that are so on it. Priyanka's like this too. If you ever work with Pri, she will give you the thank you message like right away. It's such a, such a classy move. So Beverly, you're part of the classy club.
Classy gals.
What's that like?
Me and Cynthia, absolute trash. Cynthia told me this. This is Cynthia's trashiest thing. Can I tell them?
Yes, I think we've talked about it on the pod, but I actually think it's like my fun fact. So go for it.
Cynthia has 2-liter pop bottles inside of her house and drinks from them straight from the bottle. She does not put them in a glass because she likes when they go flat.
Mm-hmm. And I want like a little sip here and there. It's the most disgusting thing. If you come to my house, do not pour yourself a drink from that 2-liter pop bottle unless you want some of my germs. It's disgusting. I'm being vulnerable.
It's like I'm shocked.
It's
almost.
Gross. It's gross. It's a bad habit. It's like I would put it in the category of me like smoking a cigarette every once in a while. Like it's not a thing I'm proud of, but it's something I have to own. I have to own it.
This Barbie is disgusting.
This Barbie is actually trash. Don't we understand? The Barbie is a facade. Just peel back that makeup. It's just a trashy, derpy.
Yet?
Girl, I have been trying. Everywhere in Vancouver is sold out. Still, everywhere is sold out.
Do you know what? Jackson really wants to see it with me. I'm up there next week. We'll just make it a podcast thing and the three of us will go.
God willing, at that point, the box offices have like chilled out. It's just because it was the first couple weekends. And then my friend Catherine, she wanted to go to one of the like fancy theaters where you like get served like a VIP experience. I've never done that, but the ticket availability was so limited that like I just feel like we played our game wrong with the Barbie movie. And I think she was secretly mad at me because she was like, I think I'm just gonna like go by myself. Like I have to like, I feel like your schedule is a little too difficult.
She was like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah. So,
but if you want to call and tell Cynthia about how amazing the Barbie movie is and how jealous she should be, you should go to Instagram at semiqualifiedqueenspod or Twitter at SQQpod using the hashtag semiqualifiedquestions or email us at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
We had a little tangent there. I forget where we were in the episode. I want to hear your voice. So record it on www.speakpipe.com/SQQpod.
And next time, we are going to be back with a very special interview from somebody super fun. I don't really know who's next, but we'll see.
And a lot of tangents.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar. Gonna crack open my 2-liter pop bottle.